It's kind of a sad day because we are coming to the close of our study in Colossians. I don't know. Joseph is kind of sad about that. I don't know how you guys have felt. It's been a blessing to me. Just to see what God's doing, to talk about and be reminded about the fullness of God and what he's doing in us. He is recreating that fullness in us. And so we're going to wrap that up this morning as we look at the closing part of Colossians here in this beautiful letter that Paul wrote. So I want to introduce to you our senior pastor, Raymond McDonald.
Isn't it good that he's home? He was gone all week. You didn't know that.
We have music.
With a buzz. That's Chris Caldwell. He's used to listening to music with a buzz. But but I'm not, so, you know. All right. That's the last time we play that song in this series, and it's worked every time, but that was set up for the Lord wanted me to give you that, brother, to call you out on that. So there it was. He's laughing up there. He's really not buzzed every time he listens to music. So let's get that clear on that. Anyhow, as you've heard, we're ending up this running on empty. Reba, you're tired of running on empty. You're tired of filling. But the name of it's called Filler Up Jesus. And last week we had a wonderful little video for you. This week we don't. I am the video this week. So focus in sharp. And because I'm feeling things a little blurry up here for me. That's for sure. As we come into this here, I mean, we've been playing this song every Sunday for 2 months. The whole point of it was to say that our lives run on empty. Every time that we continue to just seek our own desires, ignore the call and the telos, the value and purpose that God has on our life as an individual and as a community, we will run just on empty. We can call Jesus' name, but there's a sense of it's not just Jesus floating over us. He's working through people. And he's designed you and called you in a way that brings completeness in your life. And that's the kind of things we talk about when we come to Vineyard. It's not just trying to get people in the seats and trying to get you to do the things of the church. It's understanding the church is trying to get us into that place where we begin to become the real community of Jesus Christ, real people that's there. But John 10:10 has been the verse we continue to read as we ended up. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. And Jesus was speaking of the enemy, Satan, whatever name you want to use there. Some of you can't say Satan without saying Satan because you watch too much, Saturday Night Live. But I haven't. Chris has watched a lot of Saturday Night Live. But in that, the point is this: the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus says, I've come that they may have life. And he tags us on and have it to the full. And when we come and we say yes to Jesus Christ, and that's where it stops, fullness is not ours. And for some of us here we've never said yes to Jesus Christ, you've went after everything you can get this morning to become full, to feel that sense of purpose that is there. Science doesn't give it to you. Politics won't give it to you. Nothing will give you the sense of fullness of life other than Jesus Christ. And as we come today, ending on this, we say, come, don't let this series get done that you do not say yes to Jesus Christ and that call he's had in your life. If you don't sense he's calling you, fair enough. But do not let this week go by where we don't say yes to him in every aspect of what he's calling us to. As we finish up on this series, I remind you, this series has been based on the book of Colossians. But Connie, you know it's not much of a book, though if you had more books that were this long, you would read a lot of books in the year because it's really just a letter. It's an epistle. That's just a fancy word that we like to use in the church. It's Greek, but it means letter. And he wrote this letter to a little church in the town of Colossae. You've heard me tell you, it's in modern-day Turkey. It's not on your big destination, but some of you, has anyone been to Colossae? Some have. Yeah, I see those hands. There's one in the back. He's always raised his hands. He also will raise his hand if I ask if he's been to the moon. But that's okay. Lord help him. But you need one like that every day. I appreciate it, Joel. So here's the deal. this little town that's existing, it's had its heyday. It's other towns around it have begun to grow. And this church is in this little town that isn't growing. This church isn't finding it some great explosive life-changing place for the whole community. It's just a small church. And it wasn't planted by some big apostle. It was planted by a guy named Epaphras. And by the way, when's the last time you heard someone named Epaphras? No? Anyone going to name their son Epaphras other than... there he goes. Joel's going to do it. That's fantastic. The Brandstetters said they will if they have another one, but they're not here to back that up today, I don't think so. With that, we'll see some fancy names even more so today. But Epaphras plants a church. He goes back to Paul, and Paul's the big apostle who no one ever really thought was an apostle. Paul wasn't one of those guys who hung out with Jesus. He didn't hang out with Jesus. Matter of fact, he was a guy who persecuted those who followed Jesus Christ. And he meets the resurrected Jesus, in a sense, on this road to Damascus where he was going to kill and imprison Christians like you. And as he meets that, he gets the call in his life to take the gospel to the world. And that's what he does with his life. That was his call. That was his purpose. Can you imagine what it's like to feel like you're called to take the gospel to the ends of the world and you're in prison? You're sitting there chained. You can do nothing. You can do nothing with the call and purpose of your life. And some of you, we talked about that last week, understand you feel chained at times, if not even now. This church is a church not unlike Colossae in the sense that even though Conroe was growing and certainly isn't a passed over town, though some might say that Willis is trying to steal our thunder. If you're here from Willis today, may God help you. But we are in a community that has seen the better part of its life. This community once housed more millionaires than any per capita in any other city in the United States of America. It was a very short time, I think a week, but it was there. This community has seen most of its time, its most splashiest time. And yet God has called a church to be in this building. For those who don't know the story, it was unique. We were told to be in this area, bounded by Dallas, bounded by the tracks, bounded by 75, and bounded by downtown. And those who were in the beginning realized that those parameters were set, and we spoke of them, and there was nothing to think of to buy, so we tried to look in other areas, but we could not. And then we found this building was for sale because the church that was here felt called to go to another area. And so we came in and said, we want this building because we have no money and we like this neighborhood. That's generally not the way you get real estate, but it's the way we got it. And they said, here, you guy who has no money, who's never really had much of anything, would you come and sign on this dotted line and it's your church? I said, don't you want other people to sign? No, you take that. It was the prayers of all the saints that did it, though. Not just my signature. My signature said yes. My signature as a pastor said, this is our home. This is our community to the rest of the community. But it was the prayers of all the saints that called everything into being. It was tremendously unique. And I know I'm veering off here, but I want you to catch the impact of what I'm saying here today. As I've said, we live according to our desires. We run on empty, and Jesus fills us up to live the life in the full kingdom life that's there. But that full kingdom life isn't something that just comes to me as the individual. Just as I signed on the dotted line with the name Raymond McDonald, a name that held no power of anything because it had no money behind it, had nothing behind it. This community grows as a community, and this church is a community. Anything I say, anything I do, brings this community into that. I have no worth, no value that will hold the weight of what it means to be part of this community. Jesus fills us up. Jesus fills up real people for real community. Real people. Now, why I'm saying that is you write that down, because I'm getting your hands warmed up a little bit, is that when it means he fills up real people for real community, that's important for us to realize, because most times in church, we don't want you to be too real, because success looks more like this. You're happy and you got no problems, that means our prayers have worked. You've got no financial problems. You've got no problems in relationship. You're not listening to music buzzed. Sorry, Chris. And, the point is, that makes me happy because it means we've discipled you and your life is good. And we know Jesus is real today because you have got it together. And you don't want to let me down. You like me. You want to be liked. Again, I'm speaking from my perspective. The first part. And so you don't show me the problems in your life because you don't want to let me down. You're like any other child wants to have the encouragement that comes with being successful. But there's not one of us here today that realizes that by being real, you stand the chance of being really rejected, looked past, judged upon one comment you made one time, always held back because of one failure. Well, I'm going to say today that being real is what Paul asked for in his people and what Paul requested of himself. Being different and being diverse is essential to being a real and authentic community. And we all won't look alike. We all won't vote alike. We all won't eat alike. Some of you are going to eat gluten-free like Funny Boots. Where you at, Funny Boots? She's raising her hand back here because that's Marie Bullfinch. But she likes to be called Funny Boots. And so I've said, okay, I can do that. Funny Boots Bullfinch. So it's kind of got a good ring. She's gluten-free. If you didn't know that, meet her on Communion Sunday. She'll have her gluten-free bag up here. Though I think we're going to be going gluten-free soon enough. Now, getting on there. Paul is finishing up his entire letter to the Colossians, and all this will come to bear as I'm talking about it, by offering the greetings to them that have to do with real people. He's going to call out his companions, his messengers, specific people in the church. But most of what is important is that I want you to understand that you just read a letter that is not a systematic theological document. This wasn't a Bible study. Bible studies are good. We go in, we learn, we get knowledgeable. As Brian said, we have something for you to do every day but Thursday. Thursday's my birthday. I need you. No, it's not, but it is coming up. When is my birthday, Susan? You know. Saturday? Somebody help me out here. I don't even know. And my new friends from Boston come in here saying, why do we need to know your birthday? Well, it's important. Because I'm in chains and I need to be set free. So having said that, the Word of God is not just a systematic theological document. It's for real people and it's relational. And Paul's letter that we have just read was a letter that was written by a man who had been touched by Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit. He was a first century Jew who had come, Pharisee of Pharisees, who had come, touched, knew Greek language. He was immersed in this culture in every way. And don't you understand the way God touched him and used him was based on who Paul was? He wasn't a North American. He was a first century Jew. Steeped in his eschatology, steeped in his theology, all theologies. The beginning theologian, some N.T. Wright has said, the first one who really was a theologian, expounding Christology, all these things as a first century Jew. And you are is this 21st century? I can't ever remember anymore. Time is flying by once you hit 50. It's crazy. 21st century North American for the most part. Some of you are Brazilian. I do not want to steal away your identity. And if you have a different identity today other than North American, may God bless you, Steve Clark. So he is North American. The point is you're receiving these words and who you are. These words were meant for people, to change people, to touch their lives. And you receive it as the person you are, and it touches your life, and you will bring it into your wheelhouse of life, your soul and your destiny and all these things for who you are. Now, why am I saying this? Because it brings us to the place of understanding what real is. That there's no way that that I live my life in a vacuum and hear God boxed over here. God speaks to me directly, and it has nothing to do with how I love my wife, love my children, love the Astros or whatever. The point is, I know that God's favorite team is the Houston Astros, and he loves Aggie football. But Dennis knows it's not true. Though I've heard God tell me he loves the Aggies, just as you've heard God tell you he loves the Longhorns. But I don't know how. I don't know how you love something that's burnt orange with horns. That's Satan. Where I came from, I didn't know. I don't know. So my point in all this is, gather with me, that the Bible is something that speaks to real people and the real circumstances of life. To what you were raised by a good man, I was not raised by a good man, or you had a mother and I didn't have a mom, I had a mom. All these things affect us. And we're bringing this into life, and we're living life together. And we're receiving each other in this way. Psalm 133:1 says, how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. How do we live in unity when we're so diverse and so different? And many of us, for the most part, here are Caucasian, you're white. What happens when it even gets more diverse? And certainly I'm not saying everyone here is. I'm just saying, overall, you'll see that. But socioeconomic, we're diverse. Everything brings diversity, and we want more diversity. We need more diversity. I need to understand the gospel from the African point of view, from the Latino point of view. I need to understand that because I can only see it in my own ways. Until someone comes up. For a woman to come up and say, well, I'm not digging on what you're saying there. Helps me to understand. But how do we, most of us being Texans and of the same makeup, struggle with unity? How can we be unified when diversity begins to come and move in there? Well, the thing is, Lord, this is your body. You mix it up, you do what you want. What I'm saying today is I may not understand my brother or sister because I don't really understand where they're coming from. And I've got the Bible right here, and I've read this Bible verse, and I'm going to tell you right now, that's what it means. But God bless you. But that word wasn't there to come and to separate us in those ways. It was called to bring us into a community. And you standing back, having the Word of God flinging it over your head, having your own personal faith in God and not tying it into a community has never been the source of what the Word of God was or the desire of God. In any way, it is to come and make real people and bring a real community. Now, he brought us here to this place. He brought us into this community. And if you're here today, he brought you into this community. You drove by some houses that don't look so pretty, and you drove by one on the corner that looks gorgeous. I understand that. But we come from diverse communities, and we affect the community we're in. And hopefully we affect every community of every believer that's there today. I ask the Holy Spirit to come and to take the ideas I'm trying to put and overlay with you this morning, that Paul's last words in this letter affect you in the most powerful way that they're affecting me. That we are called as a community to expound the kingdom of God when it is nothing but darkness out there. We're called to expound a truth that's as true here in this church as it is out there in the street. We're not an enclave of Christians who are hoping to be able to get along because they'll let us meet together and won't bother us. We are to affect and impact our community economically, politically, every way we are. Our lives should affect our schools. Our lives should affect everything around us, because if the truth's the truth, it's the truth. But even as we struggle in our own place, oh, what is the truth? Jesus Christ says, I'm sending the Spirit, and he's going to explain to you. He's going to move in those things. So I say, come, Holy Spirit, even now, move on us in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that we put above every name, the name we stand with. And ask you to bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. If you got Colossians in your Bibles there, and I'm sure you do, we'll put it up there for you. Oh, look at that. Now, there's a new name to name your son. Anybody pregnant here fixing the name of a child, raise your hand. Let's get them. There we go. Frank Jackson. You're awesome. My God, what kind of people we have here. Tychicus That's the way I've heard it pronounced. You've heard it pronounced Tychius and all kinds of stuff, but you can go, but Tychicus I like, because that's Texan. Tychicus. Got an African-American ring to it, don't Lurdell. Do you like that there? Tychicus. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. Who's speaking? Paul. He's riling you up at old Tychicus. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and a fellow servant of the Lord. I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. The first thing I want to throw out here real quick, Mark, is that Paul wants this church he's never been to. He's never met these people. Get that down. Epaphras came to him in jail, in prison, and said, look, I planted this church. Help me out. And he's writing letters to him. He's sending him Tychicus, who's an Asian guy who's deeply devoted, very loyal. But the main thing he's trying to do is he wants them to know about him. Now, most of us say, well, you don't really need to know about me. Don't share stories about yourself in the pulpit. Just give the gospel, brother. But understand, they didn't have something in a leather-bound book back in those days. And certainly, Paul's letter wasn't written yet, so it certainly wasn't in the leather-bound book we call the New Testament. Nor do we even really know if he thought it might be used that way. But the point is, he knows the letter will be read other places, is that he wants them to know about him. And unlike many apostolic figures, pastors, whatever, fathers, I don't want to share. Because what is his circumstances? He is a prisoner. You say, well, boy, we love that about Paul. He's a prisoner. He gave it up for the gospel. He's our hero. But in his day, he wasn't a hero. In most of the letters he writes, he's trying to express that he is really an apostle. No, he wasn't a disciple, but he's really an apostle. He has to always put that forward. And the other is, he's in prison. And I don't care what you might think about that now, but back then, that didn't hold a lot of water. It looked pretty bad. The guy who's leading me is in jail. Well, he's there because he led a revolt against this or whatever. It won't matter to you. He's trying to get past the embarrassment of his chains. Let them know my circumstances, how bad my life looks right now, because it doesn't look good. I need to preach, and I'm locked up. I'm not going to tell you about me today because I've spent the last 2 weeks really putting forth a lot of my life to you. But I don't ever mind sharing my life because that connects me to you. And I don't ever mind you sharing your life with me because it connects you to me. Your life demonstrates the gospel of Jesus Christ. You are the greatest sermon I'll ever preach is your life and what you do. Tychicus is going to tell them about his circumstances. And I want to say the first thing that we must understand about being real is that we allow ourselves to be exposed for who we really are. And that doesn't mean all your dirt has to be exposed. But you know what? If you're going through it, you're going through it. And that's okay. That's okay. And I love the fact that Ray Matthews works for Goodyear. Do you still work for Goodyear? And I don't use Goodyear products because he's never been able to get them. No, I'm just kidding. I love Goodyear products. The point I'm saying is I love that I know that about him. And I love that I know your life. So those things mean something. It isn't just you walking here and you're a home growth group leader and that's what makes you a man. You're a man because you've worked in a company for 30 some odd years of your life and served law and worked over people and brought up people and trained them to make rubber products, whatever. Vulcanized rubber, whatever it is. The point is, this affects the way you understand the gospel, and it affects the way we relate, and affects the way our communities work. Your life matters in everything you do, the good and the bad. Now, real quick, does that make a point for you today? Hope I hope it all, because I know all your stuff. Your parents sent me a letter. I know you. I know where you sleep. So, the second is his choice. Tychicus is a good, loyal man. And I want to tell you, understand, and I must be quick about messengers. In those days, you didn't get on there and Facebook somebody. Your messenger was your Facebook picture. He was the Facebook profile you were putting forth, or she. Whoever brought your message gave your first impression. Do you understand what I'm saying today? That we don't really kind of gather that because we don't use messengers that way. We get a phone call. Someone goes on. The first thing they'll do when someone hears about a church generally, they'll go on and see how good looking I am or not before they'll do anything else. You know that's the truth. And because I'm good looking, it's really swung you a lot. No, the point is, that's the first thing we do. We look at people. We want to see what they look like. We read about it. We want to know about them. These are his messengers. He wants people to know about him, and he sends a good, faithful man to do it. What is a messenger for me today? Well, I would say that's leaders in this church, people. Brian Fox is a tremendous messenger of everything I've lived for in my life. Because whatever he says to you, you'll pretty much figure that's what I said to him, and that he represents me just as I hopefully represent him. Each one of us represent this body as we go out and represent the church and things that are out there. But the hope is those who have worked with you the most in your life represent you well. There's nothing worse than thinking you've got a good friend who goes out and says, well, I know Raymond is no good, and he's been known to be a philanderer and a squanderer of money, but he really knows Jesus. Just give him a chance, Smitty. That certainly would not be the truth, and it wouldn't be what I wanted you to say. Now, you got that? Tychicus is a good messenger, and he's coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who's one of you. They will tell you everything's happening here. So quickly, I want to say about Onesimus, you just need to read the next letter, which is Philemon, and realize this. Onesimus is a runaway slave from that community. And Paul's sending a runaway slave. By the way, slavery a little bit different back then, but still a runaway slave was just as bad a figure to be trusting with your message as anyone else. And Paul was sending him back to his community with Tychicus with him to show the change in this man's life. But here's the other. Paul took a chance on a desperate man. He took a chance on a man in a difficult place of life to be his messenger. And I want to say today that we want to be the church that takes chances with leaders. We want to be a place that takes chances. You took a chance on me, I take a chance on you. I think there's a song about it. We won't sing it right now. Real community entrusts its vision and reputation to its leaders. I don't think I need a helicopter to fly to everyone's house. I don't think I need to be the only one, by God, I hope I'm not, who goes to every hospital bed and speaks to everyone and leads everyone to Jesus Christ. You are a leader as you step forward and begin to take the gospel of Jesus Christ, even as it's formed in this community, which is a little bit different. It's not heretical to say that we emphasize Holy Spirit interaction. We emphasize this real community that's here where people can be real. We emphasize certain values. That doesn't mean that the church over there who thinks that maybe you ought to clean it up a little bit better or something else is heretical. It's just the way their community, as I spoke in the beginning, processes the gospel in their community. And generally, that's led by the vision of a pastor or pastors or leaders. I have always put that forward because I live by grace because I need your grace and I need your mercy. And therefore, I always want to be a guy who errs on the side of grace and mercy. And if I'm wrong, fair enough. And you will see leaders come in this church who will be good leaders and maybe their lives get squirrely. I'm not ashamed of them. I'm often upset with me that I wasn't there to help them. But I'm not ashamed because we take a chance. That's what we do. Entrust its vision and reputation to its leaders. Doesn't feel that it can't give things away. Doesn't feel it has to be the only person who's putting it forward. And I give you this verse from Proverbs 25:13 in the Message. You probably couldn't get a shakier verse. That's from Proverbs and it's the Message. No, we put it in the Message so you kind of get it. Reliable friends, and that's messengers in the other ones, who do what they say are like cool drinks in sweltering heat. I wanted that verse because sweltering heat is what you think of today. If you live in Texas, you can understand what a cool drink might be. And I want to tell you, there's nothing worse than when you're out there pushing children in a tire swing under your tree and it's 100 degrees and you're sweating and exhausted and your next door neighbor, Phil Wright, comes over and says, hey, man, have you tasted this new beer? But we'll put it there. It's from Shiner. It's Smokehouse. I know I'm not trying to encourage you to drink, but he brings me this beer that tastes like brisket. And I quaff that thing in 100-degree heat. Took years to forgive him. That's not the kind of messenger or friend you want to be. I think they took that product off the market, praise God. So thank you for encouraging me to join you in that horrible example of love. Jesus said this in Luke 22. He says, you are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Well, guys, the only kingdom that I have is the one I participate in, the kingdom of God. But I would say this here. I confer on you a community that God has brought me into to lead. And I pass that on. You've stood by me with my trials. You've stood as loyal people. I trust that you have sometimes even a better word than I do myself. Because you see it from a different place than I do. I confer that on you. Speak of this community. Share with those who have no truth, who have no light, who are not part of another community. Because real people is what make up a real community. Be yourself. And remember, you can't say one thing and act another way. Act in love. Ask forgiveness. Give forgiveness. Quickly, I move to the next thing. And I do mean quickly. Nancy, I know you're watching me. I'm getting there. I know. It's good. He says, my fellow, he's going to talk of companions now. Karen, here comes the companions, the people you hang out with. I think you're in this list, so here we go. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus, another great name, sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions about him. That's kind of confusing, isn't it? You've instructions about him. If he comes, welcome him. Pretty strange that he has to be told to be welcomed. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you. Oh, excuse me. Jesus, who's called Justice, also sends greetings. These are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Verse 12, Epaphras, one of you, sends his greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God's mature and be fully assured. I vouch for him. He is working hard for you. For those at Laodicea, in Hierapolis, those are the two cities that are growing around Colossae. Our dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Okay? Now, you read that there? Julie, hang with me. Here we go. I see you there. She's saying, where's this guy going? Let me hit some of these people, these companions. Maybe with here's some of these companions. As making friends in a community of real people, this is what friendship looks like. This is what companionship looks like. This is what a community looks like. First of all, Aristarchus, he's my fellow prisoner. You're going to make friends with the people who are just like you in the same situations of life. That's just the way it works. That's where you're going to grow. That's where you're going to have great impact in your life because y'all are chained together, as it were, in life. You're just alike. That's the way it works. And so real community is made up of those who are in the same situation as you. Same situation. They may be same, different face, same. So the thing is, for those who unfortunately watched the interview, please don't watch Interview. It's a great movie, but it's rated R, and I was told to watch it from Brian Fox, but it was a great show, but it's R. So there you go. In this same situation, meaning of life, it could be race, it could be the way your background of faith, maybe you came through the Baptist, maybe you came through the Assemblies of God, maybe you live in the same neighborhood, maybe you're in the same socioeconomic strata. You're going to make those kind of people. You know, it's like, Kent Miller. He and I are good friends because we're both doctors. Okay, at least he's a doctor. There you go. So that's good. I tried to jump on your gravy train. Didn't work. Now here we go. As does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. I better be quick. Now, one of my best friends in life is Mark. But this Mark for Paul, and by the way, Mark and I have been friends since high school. We've lived life together. We know our kids. It's easy to be his friend. But there's some other Marks in this world that aren't so easy to be friends with. Because the cousin of Barnabas, Mark, if you'll read Acts, was the reason that Paul, when he got his very beginning ministry going, was with his mentor, a guy named Barnabas, who coached him and called him and brought him into ministry. And they were doing wonderful things until this little cousin of Barnabas gets in the mix and upsets Paul. And Paul says, I don't want him going with us anymore. I'm done with that little sniveling idiot. That's my words. That's the Texas Interstate version. He got up, he left us right in the middle of our work. I won't go with him again. I can't trust him. If you go to Acts, you'll see this is where Barnabas and Paul's ministry separated. And Paul moved on and got Silas, and they went and did their thing, and Barnabas went on and ministered as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is a man who has a checkered past in ministry. This is not a guy anyone else would pick up and walk with. But you're going to find these people in your life. You're going to find that it's made up with people with a checkered past. And I say checkered past, maybe they went to jail or something, but even worse and more scary to me sometimes is those who had failures in ministry or those who actually failed me in ministry. And the point I want you to see today, is that's why, by the way, why Paul says, welcome him. I've given you instructions about him. You can only imagine what the instructions were. Don't leave out your silverware. Welcome him. Don't hold it against him what he did to me. Because people obviously knew if he had to instruct them otherwise. Can we be a community? Can we make friends with folks who've hurt us in the past? You got that in you? Move on, Raymond. I will. Thank you. Jesus, who's called Justice, also sends greetings. We all got those friends who think they're Jesus. That's not my point. But it says, these are the only Jews among my co-workers for the kingdom of God, and they've proved a comfort to me. Now, I'm going to use Jesus, who also goes by Justice, to make this point, though it's recommending the three before. This word is, they are the only Jews with me, and the Greek says they are the ones of the circumcision. It doesn't say Jews. And so I don't want to weigh this heavy, but I want to use it for this point, and I can't say for sure, but N.T. Wright, a tremendous New Testament scholar, believes that possibly these are people who were of the party of the circumcision, who believed in Jesus Christ and believed the way Paul did in one thing, but they felt that more so, that people needed to become more Jewish and follow the Jewish commandments and eat dinners at the right time, wash your hands the right way, go to synagogue and all these other things in order to be good Christians. And that's what Paul's letter, if you go to Galatians, he's just staunchly against these people. He even told him, I wish your knife would slip and you would, and I'll leave it at that, but it's in the Bible. Paul does not like the party of the circumcision. And if any way these guys were part of that, I'm saying that Paul is willing to deal with people who don't think just exactly like him. Theological differences. Go ahead and give me that point if you don't mind. With different theology. And by that, I'm not saying someone who's completely off the charts. I'm not trying to get you someone who's crazy over here, but someone who might differ just a little bit than you. There's someone who might say, you know what, I don't believe this here. I'm a little different. I come from more of a Anabaptist background. I come from Assemblies of God background. I come from Catholic background. I come from that. Can we come under the same roof? Well, we do. And if you raised your hands today, you would see that how many Catholics were in here and how many Baptists were in this place. I'm just going to take those two because that's been like cats and dogs with me growing up. I was Baptist. My grandma made me swear I would never date a Baptist girl. So I married one. So the point is, a Catholic girl, but I married one. The point I'm saying is I was raised that we did not even associate with people who went to a different church, that different than ours. I want to say, can we make friends? In the Vineyard, certainly. You're going to have to make friends with people who come from a different background. And we come to the main in the plain. We come to that centered set of Jesus Christ. Think of us all as a bunch of cows, or don't. And that we're in a dadgum pasture. We're not held in the pasture by a barbed wire, though one exists out there. We all come to the feeding trough every day because that's where we get fed, and that's what keeps us in the pasture, not the barbed wire. Because if you think you got something better out there, there's no way I can hold you or want to hold you. I want to send you to be where you need to be. But we come and feed at the trough together and worship him and sing things like, "You're great and wonderful, yes you are," together as our voices carry that praise together. And I wanted you to hear your harmonies, that each singing differently, voices, timbres different, all come in together singing the same song. I've learned so much from Susan, who came from an Episcopalian background. Her father was an Episcopalian priest. Is that what you call it, priest? Okay. And she taught me so much about liturgy. I didn't know what that word meant. I thought it was something you didn't mess with Texas with. I didn't know. Thank you for those who got that joke. Now, as we go, the point is we stretch each other. Theological differences. Are you with me today, or am I boring you half to death? Come on, help me out here. Someone can say amen. Thank you. Chicken fried pie. Start to sound like a white North American church. I need a little help up here. Chicken fried pie. Cap'n Crunch in a carton of bologna meal. Now, here we go. I then told you a little bit about Epaphras. He's one of those servant of Christ. We see this. But here's the thing. Epaphras planted this church of Colossae. It's the Colossians are getting a letter from. Beverly, Epaphras knows these people. He's their preacher, basically. And Paul's going to send him. Because I'll tell you what. Paul doesn't mind that Epaphras has been successful. He doesn't mind that he's the one who's touched these people's lives. He rather likes that. In no way does this cause him to squirm or cause him to back up. No way does he come in and set Epaphras down and say, "I'll take it from here." In a real community, we don't do that. We don't have some hierarchy where there's the real one who's going to do it. No, man, you've been doing a great job. I always tell the story of Ben Day, who is no longer with us. He's not dead. He lives in Palestine. It's close to the same thing. But and he called me one night and said, I'm going to the church, and I'm going to speak to Timmy Burke, who isn't with us this Sunday. Again, I don't think he's dead. Check him on Facebook. He's there a lot. But he's not. He's not dead, right? He's just not here. You saw him yesterday? Why isn't he here? Oh, that's okay. Let's leave it at that. But that was a joke, Smitty. I'm just kidding you. So the point is that Timmy did not know the Lord. He had been a pagan for most of his life. And so the point was, Ben Day called me and asked me if I'd meet down here and I would lead Timmy to the Lord. I said, "I don't have time. You lead Timmy to the Lord." And they come down here to the church because this is where Timmy wanted to know Jesus, in this place. And Ben Day led him to the Lord here. That's why we allow you to baptize those you lead to the Lord. That's why we allow you to baptize your children. That's why we allow you to baptize even your spouse. Because we don't think it's something special that's coming to us. We realize that everybody gets to play. And you've been successful. Why would I get in the middle of that mess? If you're successful with something, I want to see you go, "I am not at all going to get in the way of what you do." Community is made up of those who provoke our envy. That's what it was, the word I wanted to say. And I'll never forget at times when I was set up there in the top and when Brian Benita was with us, who's went to plant a church in Kingwood. That's where they're at. I wish they'd come back and let us give you a big send off, but they've not come back yet. We'll get them here. But when he would preach, he was so good. And I would just sit up there thinking, "What am I doing here?" And then I realized he's a good preacher, but he was a real idiot. And I really just said, that'll get him back here. You'll hear that, I'll tell you. The point was, it didn't lessen who I was as his pastor and my call. He's good at that. Believe me, Brian Fox is good at a lot of things, and yet he serves in a way that is very supportive. Every time Joel Looney gets up here and preaches, I get the letters, "When are you going to retire?" I hear it all the time. And it excites me. It excites me. It excites me that
Our hope is to send the Knoxes off to Brenham to take over that church. And that's our prayers. Be praying for them. They're being vetted for that. Even though it hurts us to lose them. How would I have sang today without those beautiful voices next? It's, to me, it was my first thought. Well, there's more beautiful voices coming. And the point is, I don't envy anyone's gift. I want it to grow and never get in the way of that. I don't care who you are. I want it to come and be real and to flourish. And if it surpasses mine, that only makes me look great because I've been for you and praying for you, not against you. And we will never stand in the way of that. Our dear friends, Luke, the doctor, quickly, real community is made up of those who are big-timing, like Kent Miller. He's big-timing back here. He's on the back row, which means it's probably his last Sunday. But the issue is, I'm kidding, that's just where they sit. But the point is, I do remember in the early days of our church having a guy who, his name was Paul Looney, who was the father of Joe Looney. And he was a well-known psychiatrist in this area and a very good teacher who had a ministry that was tremendous, still is. And it would have been easy to say, this guy's going somewhere fast and I'm never going to be that. But it, for me, it was, I want to, he wanted to be pastored. He wanted to be led. And that's what I was. At one point, having an offer to go to the Woodlands Fellowship, which is now called the Church of Woodlands, we sent him there because his ministry was bigger, needed a bigger house, I guess. But he didn't even want to go until he was sent and wouldn't go if I wouldn't give him the okay to go. What a blessing those kind of things are. To be with someone who's going to be bigger than you ever thought, you're going to have people like as friends. Don't cut these people out of your life and out of community. Love them. Don't be afraid of that. And then Demas? Well, Demas sends his greetings. Smitty, Demas sends his greetings. But you don't have to read much about Demas in the Bible to find out this, that he eventually leaves the faith and does horrible things to Paul and says things against Paul that almost destroy his ministry. Real community is made up of those who have betrayed us and those who will betray us. And the day that you close up shop and quit taking friends because you might get betrayed is the day you've shut the kingdom off. It's just what happens. And you don't want to be betrayed. I don't want to be betrayed. Demas didn't just leave Paul. He did damage to Paul. And my thing is today, that we want to be open for this group of people in our companionship and in our body. Please never cut someone off. I've had people come to me and say, you need to be careful of that guy. He's trying to take your church. Well, it's not my church. And if someone can take this church, then I guess then God meant that to be. I'm not saying I would ever allow someone to do damaging things to you. I would always stand there. But if that was what was going on, as King David said about his son, then let it be so. I don't live in fear of those things. I want to see people grow and to be all that they can be. I said that in the very beginning. A new command I give to you, Jesus says in John 13:34, love one another. As I've loved you, so you must love one another. And how did he love us? He laid everything down. He had every position and laid it down to love us. He laid down his life for me, that I might stand here. I was no good dog. And he came and he found me and called me out of a place of darkness. I was on the phone with a friend yesterday, and they called me and said, I've always wanted to ask you this question. You remember years ago, you said this to me. You told me it was none of my blankety-blanking business when I asked you about something. And I wanted to know, why did you say that to me? That was just yesterday. And I said that to you? And they said, yeah. And I said, how can I ask you to forgive me? It was all about your business. He had every right to ask me those questions. How sorry I am. How sorry for the things I've done. In arrogance that I've walked in life and hurt people, betrayed people who loved me. Jesus has loved me in spite of that, and you have loved me in spite of that, and my friend loves me in spite of that, and I call us to love one another beyond a capacity that can be held in a human way, that the Holy Spirit would pull us together. And I could stop there, but that would be to truncate what we're doing here. He goes on and says, and give me greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and Nympha and the church in her house. This woman's got a church in her house. And after, and this letter has been read to you, see that it's also read in the church of Laodiceans, and see that you in turn read the letter from Laodicea. And tell Archippus, see to it that you complete the ministry you've received in the Lord. Most Greek translations put that with Archippus, that obviously he's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. Nympha is just this woman who has a little church house over here, who's on the fringes of what's going on in Colossae. And it's in Laodicea, excuse me. He's reaching out to these people who seem to be on the fringes. We don't even know if he knows them. But he's commending them and calling them out and encouraging them to come into the greatness of their life. He doesn't have his eye on the big timers. He doesn't have his eye here and there. He's looking beyond that. And that's what we want to do here. It's never to focus just on this group or there. We have to focus as we go through things, but always be looking for the one who's out there serving, whose name isn't known. We talked in our group about what it means to be known and to be recognized by someone in a position. And we talked about when Phil was here and Phil Strout was here, and he said to Chris, there's my friend Chris, can we work through the PowerPoint together? How wonderful it made Chris feel that Phil Strout, the national director, knew his name. For me, I remember being a young songwriter in a meeting with all these big songwriters at the time who were selling a lot of records. And Brian Dirksen and John Barnett and Kevin Prosh and all of these guys, you may not know these guys, but at the time they were selling a lot of records. And there I sat. And John Wimber, who was the founder of the Vineyard and well-known around the world, looks down and says, Raymond, let me tell you something. I don't bless what you're doing. He admonished me in front of every one of those writers because I was traveling. Because his son told me I had to because I was on his record label. And someone came up and said, are you okay? I said, okay. He knew my name. He admonished me. He knew my name. I don't care. He told me to get him a cup of coffee. I didn't care. Please look beyond your little circle. Look out and see Nympha, who has a little church in her house. Encourage Archippus, whose name sounds like a wood chipper, to come in and to grow. For Reba to say to you, continue the work of what God's doing in you, my friend. Don't stop. You're young, and there's a lot there. Hold on. You're going to see the turn. You're going to see it. Don't stop. When you see someone fade, don't sit back and say, yeah, I figured they'd fade. Encourage them. Grab them by the collar. When you see them over here at the little store drinking a 30-ounce malt liquor in a brown paper sack, just travel. But that, I wonder what's up. But malt liquor? But the point is encourage. Don't gossip. Don't tear down. Encourage. Real community recognizes and encourages the one who serves in the shadows. Serves in the shadows. Encourage. And guys, that was a lot today. I'm letting you write that down. Let that stay up there. I'm going to read the next verse, Chris, if you don't need to flash it. The greatest among you will be your servant, Matthew 23:11. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Exhausted and exalted. I want you to know that it is the right hand of God who lifts you up. And you might make enough noise to get lifted up. But it will be God's table. It'll be the table of Jesus Christ, you sit at, and you will be asked to sit at the end. because he will bring up who he wants, and they'll probably be the praying grandmothers who get lifted right to the front of the table, who you never knew and never saw. Serve, serve. Don't think because he gives you wisdom that it gives you the right to be a jerk. I'll say that my own self. And for me, I think I shared it with you. I read James 3:17 about 3 months ago, and I'm just reading there, and it says that real wisdom is from above, and it does these, it serves, it's submissive, it's these things. And I just thought, every time I got a good idea, I thought it was my job to go after my leaders and tell them how they were screwing up. And I got on the phone, and I called two leaders that I had really challenged. Still don't think I was wrong in what I said, but the way I went was very disrespectful. Now I can see in hindsight. And I apologized to both of them. Both of them were very gracious. And I said, I'm sorry. The very next day, the regional leader of our movement called up and asked me if I would like to be the regional rep for church planting in all of our region. Like, you got to be kidding me. All these years, I've never been asked to do anything. The moment I apologize for being a jerk, God opens the doors up. And all I've done is be a servant to everyone I get a chance to be, to help them move along what their desires and goals are in their church and then their church planters. It's a lot of work. But I do it for you because I feel that I represent our body to our region and what we do. But it came when I said, I'm tired of fighting and complaining. If you're faithful in small things, you'll be faithful in bigger responsibilities. You'll be crooked in small things. You're going to be different in bigger things. Let's trust. And my last thing, he says, I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Real community invites us to be known. And I said that in the front, so I lay it with you there. I am writing and signing my signature right now, just as I did on this church building 14 years ago. I want to be known. And I'm not saying I don't get quiet time and that I can't have quiet time and that everything about me is your business, but I am saying this here. I don't think I get to just preach to you and not be known. That to open myself up to you, I don't think I'm better than you, nor do I think that I have a special group that must come and hang with me. I don't ask you to call me pastor or any other title. Those of you who call me that, fantastic, it blesses me. But I do not demand such things. There's nothing that makes me have to be respected here. I'm sorry. Whatever respect I have with you, I hope it's the Holy Spirit through me that calls you to do that. And I ask us all to walk in the humility and walk in that calling that is there. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father I've made known to you. Well, if I can't walk in Jesus' footsteps, what kind of man am I? I call you my friends. And everything that he's made known to me, I will make known to you. And I will share that with you. Would you stand with me now? So ministry team comes forward. And thank you for being patient with me today as we closed out Colossians. Real people in a real community calling you to come into the fullness of what you are. For some of you today, that original call I said of not knowing Jesus Christ has been pinging in your heart. And I ask you to get down here quickly so that we can then rejoice with you and enjoy that time with you. That we can come to know together. If this is the ministry team, do we have more coming over here? Some over here on the bride side. Thank you. And those you see down here, by the way, they've just went through ministry team training. It just helps them walk in a way to encourage you. And they're just asking the kingdom of God to come. And some of you today, it's coming down for prayer for things of this nature. Like Phil Wright, who's got a bum knee. It's your knees, it's your elbows, it's your back, it's those things. We believe in the kingdom of God coming for jobs, for coming and moving your life, setting you free, calling you into the fullness of your life, physically, emotionally, financially, all of those areas. He wants to pour it out on you. And today, that's what we're calling you to come down for. and walk in that way. And then some of you, it's to be known. You have felt called into his ministry. You have felt called to do things that you've never stepped forward because you don't have the training. You've lessened it through yourself. You've had failures in your life. You've hurt people. You've hurt people in this church. You think everyone's done with you. Your heart's broken. Always the call goes out to you and the encouragement of the Holy Spirit I send to you even now. For even if you cannot come forward, I ask the Holy Spirit to come and fall on you and ignite that fire within you. Like Archippus, that you would be commended to do all that God's called you to. Never stop growing. Never stop leaning forward and letting him speak to you and call the more out of you. Never think you've got it. Never think this is the end. More, more, more. As the kingdom comes, let it shine. Let your voices be heard in this community as leaders and the messengers of the gospel. And spur each other on towards good deeds through love. I ask the Holy Spirit to come now, even as I invite you down for prayer, and we'll continue it. Be blessed. Be blessed in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, that they call you into this unity of dance together, wildly enjoying the kingdom life, pulling you into the love and the forgiveness and the strength that is known as God and his kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much.